Thank you so much. You know, Scripture says, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, we're going to praise Him. We're going to praise the Lord. And so that's what we've done today. We've lifted up the name of Jesus. We praise Him. Now we want to lift up the Word of God and look at what it has to say to us. If you've got your Bibles and you want to turn with me, we've got two sections of Scripture we'll be looking at today, and I'll introduce them in the sermon as we go. The first Scripture is from Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, we'll be looking at verses 1 through the first part, A is what I call it, of verse 4. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. As you get to your Bibles, as you turn there, let me remind you that as we look at the book of Nehemiah, we look at a very, very special book. I believe that it has some application to us and where we are today. We've been out of our meeting house. All across America, we've been out of our meeting house. And we have experienced some struggles in that process. As we have waited for the opportunity to go back in to our meeting house, we're in the process of re-entry. We're preparing. And so this month is re-entry month. Preparing for re-entry. I think that as the astronauts would prepare to bring in the spaceships and the shuttles, they would come in and they would have to do certain things to prepare for that entrance back into their familiar territory. And so I see that in the book of Nehemiah. You see, Nehemiah is a cupbearer. He's in a foreign country. He's in a foreign place. And as a cupbearer, he is responsible to the king in taking care of him and making sure that he is never poisoned by some enemy. So he would taste the drink before he gave it to the king. So he was very important to the king. And as Nehemiah served in that position, that place, it was a place of honor. It was a place of great respect. It was a high-ranking position. He finds out that his homeland, Jerusalem, is in shambles. Jerusalem, the walls have been torn down. They've been burned. They are without homes. They are without a place to rest their head. Does that sound familiar to the church? I think it does, doesn't it? And so we see Nehemiah, as he finds out about his homeland, he finds out about Jerusalem, he finds out about his home country and his people there, he realizes there is some heartbreaking realization that comes upon him. His heart is broken. He's saddened. He's shattered by the news that comes out of Jerusalem. But he doesn't go to the king to tell the king of the situation back home. No, he spends some time praying about it. Have you prayed about re-entry into the house of God? Have you prayed about re-entry into the meeting house? Nehemiah takes time to pray and seek God. His countenance is saddened by what he is, what he knows and what he feels. As he turns his attention and his mind to God, the king calls out to him and says, I see that your countenance is fallen. I see that you're saddened. What's going on? He shares with the king what happens. The king releases him to go and even provides for him provisions to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah takes the trip back, and he goes back to his homeland, and in his homeland he takes to rebuilding the walls and rebuilding the city. The temple was in good repair. The walls were broken down. The walls were a representation of the presence of God, His care for them, His protection over them. And so, for them to have the walls torn down, even though the temple was there, they were without a home. Have you felt that way? Have you felt that way as a believer, as a Christian, that you were without a home? Well, I want you to know, my friends, that Nehemiah went into Jerusalem and he rebuilt the walls. He rebuilt the city. He didn't do it over a long, long, lengthy period of time. No, he was a leader who planned, and he was a leader who had purpose. He was a leader who had to endure great objection. He had to endure opposition. He had to endure a great amount of criticism. But yet, in 52 days, do you get this? 52 days, he rebuilt the city of Jerusalem. Now, if you want to play with numbers, let's play with numbers for just a minute. How many days does it take for the coronavirus for you to have to isolate yourself when you're tested positive? 14 days, correct? Am I right? Okay. All right, 14 days. How many days was Brother Robert Shaw in isolation on the ventilator in the hospital at VA? 40 days. Are you with me yet? We came out of the house of God, the meeting house, on March the 14th, 15th, something like that. There have been 49 days as of today that we've not been in the meeting house. 52 days that it took Nehemiah to rebuild the city, Brother David. The church is heading back into the house of God, according to Scripture, because we're getting ready to go back. We're getting ready to re-enter. I don't know how long that'll be. I don't know how long that'll be, but I do know this. We're going back. And before we go back, there's some things we need to do. We need to reaffirm our purpose. Take with me Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. The Scripture says, when the seventh month came, the Israelites had settled in their towns. All the people gathered together at the square in front of the water gate. They asked the scribe Ezra. They had a drive-in service, by the way. They asked the scribe Ezra, that's the preacher, the pastor, to bring the book of the law of Moses, the Lord, that the Lord had given to Israel. And on the first day of the seventh month, the priest Ezra, well, that kind of goes just a little further, don't it? The priest. Who is our high priest? Jesus Christ. Who is our prophet? Jesus Christ. He brings the word before us. Ezra brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could listen with understanding. While he was facing the square in front of the water gate, he read out of it from daybreak until noon before the men, the women, and all those who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. The scribe Ezra stood on a high wooden platform made for this purpose. Now the people have gathered together, and they come together to listen to the Word of God. They come together to spend time coming back, if you will, to the Word, to the Bible, God's holy Word. The law was God's Word to them. It was the law of their land. It was what they believed. It was what they trusted. It was what they followed. Friend, I want to tell you something. If you haven't reaffirmed the presence of God's Word in your life, you may have missed a lesson in these 49 days. We must lift up the Word of God, and we must use it as our guidebook, as our life source, as our manual for all of life, because in it are the words of life. To be away from this book is to be into sin. This book gives us life and liberty. It gives us hope and presence. And it gives us what we need for every hour, for every day. The psalmist says, "Thy word am I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God." Hide God's word in your heart. Hide God's word in your life. Let it speak to your life. Return to God. Return to the word of God. We've learned in the midst of all of this that the church is not about that doing. Hear me? Church, it's not about that building. That building is brick and mortar. Oh yes, it's special to us. Yes, it's a place of meeting. Yes, there have been some great things that happened in that building. We've seen lives changed. We've seen hearts restored. We've seen families healed. We've seen people come to know Jesus Christ as first Lord and Savior in that building. But it is not the church. You are the church. You are the body of Christ. The body of Christ is flesh. flesh and blood. It's me, and it's you. It's you, and it's I. However you want to say it, all right? It is us. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. I long for the house of God. I'm like these sparrows that keep flying over my head. They're building a nest in the house of God. I long to get back into that nest. I long to be back in that house. But I want you to know God's house is residing within us, the body of Christ. We are the church. We need to reaffirm our purpose that God's Word is our authority, that God's Word is our manual. But we also need to reaffirm the fact that we are His body. We are the church. Not just on Sunday mornings in this house, but we're God's church every day of the week. Yes, we come together to worship as a body of Christ, but we go out to work and to serve. That's the purpose of the church in Acts chapter 2. You turn there with me real quickly. In Acts chapter 2, we begin reading with verse 42. The scripture tells us that we are. It tells us what we are to be about. You see, Paul said we're peculiar people. Paul, the Word of God says that we're chosen people. The Word of God says that we're set apart people. And as God's people, we lift up God. We lift up Christ so that the world might know Him. And our purpose is very clear. It's found right here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and a prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together. They held all things in common. They sold their possessions and they sold their property, and they distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple. They broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts. They were praising God, and they had favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. There's five things here that we need to reaffirm today as the body of Christ. Bible-believing people, as people who are seeking after the heart of God and seeking for that time when we'll come back together, we need to reaffirm these five things. First of all, we need to reaffirm our worship. Our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, praising Him and exalting His name. You've done that in your homes through prayer and petition. You've done that in your homes through teaching and sharing. You've done that in your homes. It won't be long, we'll be doing it together again. We're doing it today in a very odd and peculiar way. But we are to worship Him. Secondly, we're to fellowship. As a body of Christ, here in this Selah, as I've called it, and as others have contributed to me, we've learned that we can fellowship in a very way. Some have used Zoom, some have used FaceTime, some have used Facebook Messenger, some have used the cell phone, some are still using the landline. We've talked, we've called each other, we've spent time on the phone together. We've even found out that we can go to someone's yard and stand in their yard and we can talk to them through a screen porch. We're fellowshipping together. And as a body of Christ, we're to fellowship together. We see these disciples as they were fellowshipping in house, the house, the house, the house. Rockford, Alabama, became the church during these 49 days. We have found that we can fellowship in unusual and different ways. There's a third thing here, and I want you to see it. It is that they were growing in discipleship. And when Killing his microphone. They were growing in fellowship. They were growing in discipleship. They were bringing others along beside them. They were sharing with them the knowledge that they had of God. They were sharing with them about how God was speaking to them. They were bringing them along. They were helping them. The Word of God tells us that we're to make disciples of all nations. That means that we share with them so that the Spirit of God might draw them to Jesus Christ. We can't say nobody, but Jesus can say anybody. And through our bringing those people along and bringing them along beside us, we can share with them. A weak Christian, a Christian who's not strong in her faith, we can bring them along beside us. We can pray with them and pray for them. We can share with them what the Word of God tells us. We can pour our lives into them. We can be that vessel that God has filled up to flow into someone else so that they might learn through encouragement, through prayer, through fellowship, discipleship. But notice also there's ministry involved here. These people were ministering to others. They were ministering. They were sharing their tithes and their offerings so that they could care for the least of these. I love the way this scripture says. It says they brought all that they had. They brought it together. They brought it into the house. And then they shared it through giving it out to those that had need. Isn't that amazing? Is that the way it's supposed to be? That's the way your church has been doing it during these 49 days. Believe it or not, your church has been actively involved in bringing the possessions together and giving it out to others. During this breakdown, during this time of Selah, we put a blessing box out in front of the Senior Center. It's a sharp little box that we open up the door, and in that door there's three or four shelves, and those shelves are covered in food. People can go by and get quietly what they might need. And people can go by and quietly put something in there. We're ministering to the least of these. During the week that followed our terrific storms, and I keep saying there was a tornado in that. There was some straight line wind. Yeah, I give that, but there was a tornado in that too. I think I saw it, but I'm not going to go there. We'll leave that alone. But during that week that followed, I saw people in this town giving of themselves, coming and spending time here, believe it or not, in this building, feeding people who needed a meal, feeding people who were working hard and tirelessly to turn our power back on, to reestablish our lives in this small little town. We were able to see the disaster relief teams come in and be able to see them go out and to be able to take care of people and do it in the love of Jesus Christ and in the name of this church, Rockford Baptist Church. Friends, we've been involved in ministry, and we need to continue doing that. We need to continue ministry to others. We've been involved in ministry through our online campus as we've shared with hundreds, and I do mean that, hundreds of people. Let me give you an example. Our sunrise service was planned months before the shutdown. A little young man named Emmett had come to me and said, I want to help you tell the Easter story. I said, all right, you can do that. We'll do that on Easter Sunday morning at the sunrise service. Well, we were planning on that. Bless his heart was absolutely broken. We realized we weren't going to be together. Well, we made it happen. We made it work out. We put together a video from distance, and we were able to share the message of the Easter story. Now, get this, 500, as of yesterday, 589 views of that one video, over 2,000 views on another link that I put it on. Folks, God's Word was getting out. We were ministering to him. If it's a superstar, listen, we have the opportunity. In our online ministries, we're having our opportunity to feed the needs of people. Our worship services online has been reaching 200 to 500 people. Our daily devotions have been reaching up to 200 people during the week on those daily devotions. It has been amazing to see what God has done in a church that barely averaged 70 in worship service to hundreds of people. We're ministering to people. We're sharing the message. But we're also involved in missions because I'm still sharing the message of Jesus Christ. And we're to still share the message of Jesus Christ. And we're still to be involved in taking the message to the ends of the world. We're sharing God's Word with the lost world. We're giving so that others might have that message, so that they might see Jesus in foreign lands. We want to be involved in missions. These are our purposes. Let us reaffirm them today. Because, my friends, when we come back together, let us not come back together like we were. Let this be a new day. Let this be a new dawn for us. So that we might see them exalted as never before. I long for that day. And when we get there, and when we celebrate together in God's house, it's going to be a grand reunion. We're going to celebrate in grand style. But until then, let's be reaffirming, reestablishing our purpose as a body of Christ, as the church, outside of the walls, involved in the Word. And here's how we'll do the invitation today. If you've got my text number, you can text me. I'm reaffirming. You can email me at rbcpilsen.com. Say, I'm reaffirming. You can comment on the page where the video is and say, I'm reaffirming. If you need to know more about Christ, just say, I need more about Christ. If you need to just recommit, rededicate your life to the Lord, PM me, email me, and let us share together in the joy of coming back into the fold, into the family of God. For those of you that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, here's the simple way. Jesus Christ died for you so that you might have eternal life. And He desires that you trust Him, that you believe in Him. He desires that you confess your sins. Because we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. Friends, if you believe, if you trust, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, Father, I thank you for this time together today. I thank you, Lord, for your word, and I thank you, Lord, for your worshipers. Now, Father, I pray that you, Lord, will go with us and help us, Lord, as we reestablish the purpose of the church, the body of Christ. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to ask you to drive that way. There's going to be some folks directing you that way. This is our time for our drive-in offering. Actually, it's our drive-by offering. We drove into church, we're going to drive by the offering. Some of you can just drive on by. But some of you may have a gift that you need to give. There's a box there. No human contact will be made. You drop it into the box, and we'll take care of it. I want you to know that God has blessed Rockford Baptist Church in this Selah. And God will continue to bless you, I know. Let me pray a blessing over the offering. Let me pray our benediction. And then you can follow the line out. Father, thank you again for this time together. Now, Father, I pray that you'll go with us in your peace, your power, and your protection. May you, Lord, be glorified in our lives, and may we show forth the praise of God. It's in your name that we pray. As you bless this offering. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. I'll see you next Sunday morning at 10:45 right here. Oh,